We continue our study of the parables of Jesus. And today I read to you from the 7th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, beginning at verse 24. Therefore, said Jesus, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I have concluded the reading of the word with the 27th verse of this chapter. With this little parable of the two houses, Jesus concludes his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Without question, the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount is the greatest which has ever been heard by humankind. Jesus knew very well that many of those who heard that sermon would hear it only. They would not go beyond that, for they were like the ancient Athenians who spent their time in hearing something new. So at the conclusion of the sermon, Jesus places the emphasis on what we do, not on what we hear. You would all agree, wouldn't you, that hearing is never a substitute for action? A man was late one Sunday morning for church. He had been grievously delayed in a traffic accident near him. When he finally arrived, the service had been concluded, and the people were coming down the outside steps. To one of the men who was exiting the church, he said, "Is it all done?" And the man said, "No, it has only been said. We are now going out to do it." Earlier, Jesus asked, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And then in this little gem of a parable, he suggests that doing his words may be likened to the business of laying a foundation. Jesus knew very well the importance of a good, solid, firm, steady foundation. For he knew, as we know, that a structure is no stronger than its footing. And if the footing is made of clay, then the structure is doomed to disaster. Jesus always spoke from first-hand experience, and he was doing that here. His occupation, remember, was that of carpentry. He worked with his father Joseph in the carpenter's shop to make a living for the Holy Family. And yet, Holtzmann once reminded us that the word tekton in the Greek New Testament, which is translated usually as carpenter, is probably better translated as builder. And if that is so, then we have new insight into the person and work of Jesus. We can imagine that he must have helped his father on many occasions lay the foundations of a new structure which had been contracted for by a builder in the community. Now, these words, I think, betray Jesus' interest in building. He once spoke of a rich man who had such a bountiful harvest that he said, "What shall I do with my harvest? Oh, I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger barns, maybe." Maybe Jesus knew this rich man. Maybe he lived in the community of Nazareth, and the time came when Joseph and Jesus had to build those barns for that rich man, and Jesus remembered that very well. Or on one occasion he said, "Which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and determine whether he has enough to finish it, lest he become the laughingstock of the whole community?" Maybe he knew somebody who had started building a tower in his vineyard and then ran out of money before he could get it done. To Simon Peter, he said, On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. For Jesus had observed the folly of laying careless foundations, and thus he talks at length about building structures and building human life. When he says in this little parable, there was a man who built his house on the sand, I think, again, he probably had a particular case in mind. He probably knew some neighbor who had done that very thing. He found the sand nice and level. It was easy digging, and the house could be quickly built. And after all, no one saw the foundation. It was always hidden, so what difference did it make? And thus, like a jerry builder who throws up an edifice overnight and then barely gets out of town before it collapses, he built his house on the sand. Well, such an edifice will never last very long. It will ultimately collapse. A number of years ago, in Los Angeles, the St. Francis Dam collapsed. Many people lost their lives, and multitudes of billions of dollars were lost in that terrible tragedy. When the investigators went out to examine the situation, they found that the foundation beneath the dam had faulty cracks in it, and they determined that when the foundation was laid, either it was laid too hurriedly or it was laid too cheaply, and so it could not withstand the weight of the dam and the pressure of the water, and it collapsed. Jesus calls us foolish when we lay that kind of foundation. We are thoughtless and we are short-sighted and we are not building for the future. If we build for a day, it will last for a day. If we build for the future, then we have to take time to lay a good, solid foundation. Each one of us here today is building a life. I told you before that my father was a builder of homes. And quite often, as a boy, I would hear curious bystanders, as my dad began to excavate for this building, say, "What are you going to build here?" Well, it's obvious nobody needs to ask us this morning what we are building, for we are building a character. We are building a life. And the question is not so much, what are you building? The question is, how are you building? Are you building a fool's paradise? Are you building on the shifting sand? Are you superficial and shallow? Are you a latitudinarian, spread out thin and broad, but with no depth and no root? Some of us build our lives upon prosperity. It will collapse. Some of us build on acclaim. It will collapse. Some of us build upon smut, and some upon alcohol, and others upon drugs. And some of us, believe it or not, build our lives upon religious entertainment, which is so shallow that it has no basis for existence or longevity. Well, if we do this kind of thing, we're not so much guilty of original sin as we are of aboriginal stupidity. We are foolish, says Jesus. Foolish to deceive ourselves into believing that because it looks all right on the outside, it is well grounded. Many years ago in Delhi, India, there was an iron pillar in the ground which was very sacred to the Hindus. For they believed that it reached to the heart of the earth, and so it became a kind of shrine of worship. Until one day, accidentally, it was dislodged and discovered that it was only 20 inches deep. Jesus said to the Jews of his day, "Judaism was meant to be a great and eternal structure, but you have treated it in such manner that the structure is only 20 inches deep. You have beautified the house. You have decorated the facade. You have polished and powdered it. But it's on sand. And it won't be long until ugly faults will appear in the wall because it has no foundation." There's a grim finality about our building. You and I have a chance to build one time, not two. One time, we never get a second chance. How well I remember my parents used to say to me when I would be about to embark on something questionable, "Young man, remember that if you make your bed hard, you will have to lie in it." Jesus said to the people of his day, if you build your house on the sand, you will have to live in it. You can't fool destiny for very long. You and I reap as we sow. We reap in nature, in kind, and usually we reap far more than we sow. And in reality, we harm ourselves more than anyone else in the world when we build an inferior house. I read an interesting story about a rich man who was so kind and generous with his money that he was constantly giving it away. He would buy people new cars. He would build people new houses. He would pay for people's debts. And one day he said to a builder in town, you know, I've decided that it's time for me to do something for myself. And so I'm going to build me a great house. And he contracted with the builder to build this great house for a particular price. Now the builder decided that nobody would know what they couldn't see. And so he skimped on the materials and he used defective materials and he made a bundle on building that house because he didn't build it very well. And then the day came for the rich man to claim his house, and the builder was the only one in the world who knew that that house was a beautiful thing to behold, but it wasn't built very well. And at that moment, the rich man handed the keys to the builder and said, I hope you're happy in your new home, for I want you to have it. You do not cheat God so much as you cheat yourself when you skimp on life. You have to live in your house that you build all the days of your life. And the main reason why Jesus insisted on the importance of a firm foundation is because he said every edifice someday will have to face the storm. Life is not always sunshine. It's not always calm. The storms will come, and sometimes they will be severe. That is natural. That is normal. Some of us have been through them, and we understand. And in this parable, Jesus tears down the scaffolding and reveals life in the raw. He shows us that there is a storm already brewing off the shore of our lives. The winds are already blowing. The thunder is already rolling. The lightning has begun to flash. And the storm is approaching the shoreline, and we must prepare for it, says Jesus. We must take adequate precautions, or we will be destroyed. You have to see the cyclone, you know, when you're laying the foundation. And it's very interesting that in the last few years, the builders of these huge skyscrapers in earthquake-prone areas have decided that there's a better way to build them, and you have to start with the foundation if they're going to withstand the earthquake. A man was riding on the old Queen Mary, and he said to one of the sailors, young man, if this boat were going at full steam and you wanted to stop it, how long would it take? And the sailor said, sir, this big ship wouldn't slow down in less than a mile. And then he said, you see, with a ship like the Queen Mary, you have to think a mile ahead. That's exactly what Jesus was saying. You have to think a mile ahead as you build your life, because you never know when the storm is going to break. And every one of us is subject to the vicissitudes of life in this unpredictable world. Every one of us has his juniper tree. Every one of us experiences the palmer worm sometime that devours what we have built. And sooner or later we'll have our private Gethsemanes and our private Calvaries. Into every life a little rain must fall. In fact, sometimes it's more than a little rain. Jesus speaks of rain and floods and winds and tempests. We live under a degree of pressure, and finally, someday, we will all experience the north side of life. When illness comes, or financial reverses come, or trouble, which is common to all of us, or death, which is universal as an epidemic, and our lives will be undermined if we have not prepared for it in advance. The security of your soul, the security of your life, depends on the solidity of the foundation. How foolish it was to build a house on the sand, for The rains and the floods came and washed the foundation away. Those were ominous words. I like the way George Buttrick captures the drama of Jesus' words when he translates that like this. Torrential came the rain, down swept the floods, angry roared the winds. Now, where this man made his mistake was he built in a dry wadi. That is, he built his house near a dried up riverbed. It seemed to be a good place. But he didn't count on the fact that one day the season would change and the flood season would come and the water would rush into that dry riverbed and what he had depended on for a foundation would be washed away. When disaster came to this man in the parable, he didn't have anything to stand on. Arthur John Gossip, just after his wife died, wrote these words, "So many people's religion is a fair-weather affair. A little rain, and it runs and crumbles. A touch of strain, and it snaps. Soon life caves in. We panic because the foundation is rotten." Now, these two houses in the text I read to you looked very much alike, didn't they? There seemed to be no difference in them until the storm came. Members of the church all look very much alike. We can't tell much difference in each other as we look at one another. It takes the storms to prove us. That is the acid test of life. The lame Stoic philosopher Epictetus said, "Difficulties are things that show what men are. And it is the storm that shows one on the rock and another on the sand." If I hadn't known that sand is a poor material to build on before, I would have learned from an object lesson with my little boy Andy many years ago when we built a sandcastle on the beach in Florida. Oh, how we worked on that sandcastle. It was enormous. And it had windows, and it had doors, and it had a moat, and it had turrets, and it had towers. And it was a beautiful castle indeed. But then the tide came in. And the rushing waters washed the sand literally from beneath the sandcastle. And down it came. What will you and I do when the streams swell and the rushing torrents threaten to destroy us? Well, then it will be either Christ or it will be chaos. In this Sermon on the Mount, he warns us against ignoring the principles which he's laid down in that sermon. He says, you must hear these words and you must do these words. And Charles Crowe was speaking of those principles when he said, honesty, truthfulness, marital fidelity, honor, personal responsibility to a trust, these things are not relative. They are the solid rocks of life. Obedience to the Word of God provides the only durable foundation for a lasting edifice. And yet we build so haphazardly and we live such frivolous lives, and all the while we're destined for disaster. The main thing, though, Jesus was pointing out was not so much the principles, as he was trying to say to us, if you leave Christ out of your life, if you leave God out of your life, you're asking for it. You're a fool, said Jesus, to build a cardboard house and think you can live in it through the storm. You can't live just any old way without one day the historian writing of your life, great was the fall of it. Daddy, said the little boy, look, they're knocking out the props from under the new bridge. Why are they doing that? Won't the bridge fall down? And the father said, no, you see, son, the props were temporary supports while the foundation was being laid and the piers were being driven into the ground. And now that the permanent piers are there, you can knock the props out so that the bridge can rest on its permanent foundation. Life has a way of knocking the props from beneath us, doesn't it? And when the supports are gone and there's nothing for you to rest upon, when the temporary props have been knocked out of your life, will the piers of righteousness and faith and commitment have been laid so deeply that you are not at a loss? Will Rogers wasn't a theologian, but one day he advised, live your life so that whenever you lose, you're ahead. That means don't ever be at the mercy of a disaster. When illness comes, be ready for it. If you lose your job, be ready for it. When debt comes, be prepared for it. Don't be dependent on the props and the crutches. Ralph Waldo Emerson was startled one morning when a friend rushed into his room and said, Waldo, the world is coming to an end tomorrow. And Emerson said, very well, I can get along without it. What a joy it is to know that underneath are the everlasting arms. And you have something to buoy you and support you in the hard times of life. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And what amazed those Pharisees and scribes and elders so much about Jesus was he spoke as one who had authority. He had the audacity to say, listen to me. For what I am saying to you is the word of God. It is the word of eternal truth. If you hear my word and you do my word, you will find security. How firm a foundation. We've been singing that now for all these years. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid by your faith in his excellent word. Either you build your house and your life on Jesus Christ, my dear friends, or you and I build our lives on chaos. There is no alternative. Well, the story, and I'm through. Many years ago in Dublin, Ireland, at the old renowned Trinity College, a young man had just finished his undergraduate test and he had passed with honors. And the principal was so delighted because this was a very highly valued young man in classical studies. When he walked into the principal's office, the principal said to him, congratulations, now what are you going to do with your life? Hoping that he would further his studies in the classics. And the young man said, principal, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to take some graduate courses and then I'm going to India to be a missionary. And the principal was aghast. You can't do that, he said. There is no future in it. I declare to you this morning, there is no future in anything else. You either build your life upon Jesus Christ and you ensure yourself against the storms which will come. You either build on his principles or you go to ruin on your own. There are two builders here today. Well, maybe more than that, but there are two kinds of builders here today. One of those builders is laying the foundation deep. He's driving the piers into the soil of faith. He's obedient as he builds his foundation. He's building his house upon a rock. And the rains will come and the floods will threaten him. But he will endure, for he is on a rock. And the other one is building his house on the sand. And the rains and the winds and the floods will come to him too. And the ruin of that house will be great. Now let us pray. Heavenly Father, how good it is to know that there is something solid to stand on. There's something sure to live by. There is someone real in whom we can put our trust who will see us safely through. And we pray that if we have not made a commitment to him and to his principles and to his life and his objectives for us in eternity, that we may do it this morning. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.